You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day starts all over again.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. Takes a lot of breath control to do that. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we praise you for everything you do for us. And we ask you, dear God, if you would just to meet with us today. We pray that you would illuminate your word, and Lord, that you would show us how to go joyfully through these trials, temptations, even the hardships of life. We pray that you would open your word to us today and speak to our hearts. And Father, we just want to ask you, please, Almighty God, to move on our nation. We pray, Lord, that you would bring an awakening. Help us, God, if you would just bring justice to the land and let it rain down from heaven. And Father, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, turn to a few folks and wave at them and tell them how much you love them. If you're drive-in, honk at us. And honk, honk. Very good. So please be seated, and Sophia's going to come share announcements with us.
Hello, good morning. I have a couple announcements for you on this fine day. First of all, if you are our guest, please fill this out as always. You can just rip it out very easily, put it in the offering. We would love to see you next Sunday and at any and all events that you are able to go to. And if you are not currently in a life group, we encourage you to attend. It is every Sunday at 9:15, and there is a life group leader meeting today at 4 p.m. Next is, if you look in the sale here at the second one, FBC Senior Ministry. So they are going to Vero Beach Museum of Art on Wednesday, April 28th. They leave at 10, and the cost is $10. Now, I have been there many times, and it is incredible. So if you have the chance, I really recommend it. And then the National Day of Prayer is coming up on May 6th. It is at the gazebo at the Martin County Courthouse. It starts at noon, and there will be social distancing guidelines. You can feel free to wear a mask, anything you need to do to feel safe, but the more the merrier. And the Annie Armstrong Easter offering is there at the bottom. It is a missions program to reach North America, and you can just designate on the envelope that you would like to donate there and put that in the offering. And the Lady Spring Banquet is coming up on Saturday, May 8th at 11:30 a.m. It is $10 for adults, $5 for young girls, and any widows that would like to attend, it is free. So I will be there. It will be a wonderful time of fellowship and community. So hope to see you there for that.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today praising you and thanking you for the weather that you've given us. It's so beautiful outside today. Thank you for the church and the pastor that you've provided for us and the message that you've given him to give us today. Lord, thank you for putting your healing hand on those within our church family and families that need it and bring them back to full health, Lord. Bless the gift and the giver that your word may be spread out through the world. We ask all this in my precious name. Amen.
Amen. Give me a hug, Andrew. That was wonderful. I enjoyed that. Praise God. Did y'all enjoy that? Amen. And you were singing scripture, everything there, each one of those lines, scriptural miracles, scriptural promises, deliverances that God has given us. And it's exciting to sing back his victories to him. Amen? Amen. Well, today we want to look at the inevitability of trials in our life and how to survive them. How to survive trials. Have any of you, anybody, is there anyone here who's ever had a trial or temptation? Raise your hands. And everyone that didn't is a liar, okay? So don't want to offend you, but God bless you, you're lying. So you're not a lying, you are lying. So if you got your Bible, we're going to turn to James chapter 1. On a commuter flight from Portland, Maine to Boston, Henry Dempsey, the pilot, heard an unusual noise near the rear of the airplane, the small aircraft. He turned the controls over to his co-pilot and went back to check it out. As he reached the tail section, the plane hit an air pocket and Dempsey was tossed against the rear door. He quickly discovered the source of the mysterious noise. The rear door had not been properly latched prior to takeoff, and it flew open. He was instantly sucked out of the jet. The co-pilot, seeing the red light that indicated an open door, radioed the nearest airport, requesting permission to make an emergency landing. He reported that the pilot had fallen out of the plane, and he requested a helicopter search of that area of the ocean. After the plane landed, they found Henry Dempsey holding on to the outdoor ladder of the aircraft. Somehow, he had caught the ladder, held on for 10 minutes as the plane flew 300 miles an hour at an altitude of 4,000 feet, and then at landing, he kept his head from hitting the runway, which was a mere 12 inches away. It took airport personnel several minutes to pry Dempsey's fingers from the ladder. Things in life may be turbulent, and you may feel like not holding on, but have you considered the alternative? So I'd like for us to look, if you would, with me at James chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now go down to verse 12. Blessed is the man, who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Here we see the words of the Apostle James, a shepherd's words to his dispersed flock. He says there to the dispersion, the dispersed abroad. This is the persecuted Jews that were under tremendous persecution and trials and temptations. And they're spread all over. And so here's the heart of a shepherd, the heart of a pastor talking to his sheep. As hopefully the Spirit of God will speak to us today about this and about these things in our life. First of all, if you look at the passage, we see several things. We're to determine to be joyful in the trials of life. So the first thing James brings to the dispersed sheep and to us today, Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, when you encounter various trials in your life. Now, it's interesting that in this, if we look at it, first of all, we need to recognize that joy is not happiness. And that does not mean we're to have some masochistic view of our life where, oh, goody, goody, I'm fixing to get beat up again. You know, something bad's about to happen and I'm going to get excited about it. That's not what it's talking about. In fact, joy is not happiness. Happiness is based on happenings. Happiness means I'm healthy today. One of our ushers, Gary, prayed and thanked the Lord for the beautiful day outside. We thank the Lord for a beautiful day. We've got health. We've got some money in the bank. Our bills are paid, you know, and right now we don't have to go see a doctor tomorrow and some of those things. And so, you know, these happenings in our life are contributing to a happiness. No, joy is not like that. Joy is not based on any circumstances around us at all. 360 degrees around us, nothing that's touching us. Joy is a supernatural happening in our life where the Spirit of God, through the grace of God, where He basically gives us a peace, and joy stems from the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can be diagnosed with cancer tomorrow and you can leave with joy. You can find out that someone stole your stimulus check and you can be filled with joy. There's so many things in your life that can produce joy. And this is something we have, the lost world does not have. This is a resource that God has given us to enjoy life in the joy of the Lord. And so we see here that he talks about this, that he says, consider it all joy. All joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, the term there for various means all manner, large and small, all of them. It can be big, it can be little, whatever it is, the various trials of life. Now, also when it's talking here, it's saying trials are not tests. It's not like you're passing something at school and you get an A or a B or a C or a D. It's not like that. What he's talking about here is different than that. This is more the term that's used to test metals. And when metals are tested, they'll melt silver, they'll melt gold, or it can be the making of steel. And the melting of it is not to hurt it, it's not to destroy it, and there's not an A, B, or C grade. The purpose of melting and testing the metal is to remove impurities and to strengthen it. When steel is made, it's several ores that are put together to produce steel. And the individual ores are not as strong, the elements, as they are when they're put together to make steel. Steel is stronger than iron. And so in our life, the testings that we have, these particular trials in our life, are to make us stronger. Impervious to circumstances. And I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, it's a sad thing to me over and over again through the years in different individuals' lives. When some test comes and I see them questioning God, in some cases abandoning God. I've had some people that were members that have gone through some real hardships and have told me, and it just hurt my heart, there is no God. I don't think He's there. He didn't hear me. He didn't take this out of my life. And my response, because I'm truthful and I'm not a politician, I'm a pastor, is to say to them, when did He promise to take that out of your life? When did He promise that our life is going to be all roses? When did He promise that our life is going to be without hardships? In fact, if you really read the Word of God and know Scripture, He not only says there will, He promises it. those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I mean, he promises hardships in our life. And look at our Lord, the God of glory, coming to earth and inhabiting humanity and becoming a human being. And look what he went through. And if he's not impervious to it, he says the servant is not greater than his master. So these things are coming in our life, trials of various natures and intensities. I had a horrible temptation hit me twice this week. Horrible. I was picking up a box truck for us to move to another house in the area. And when I was at the place where I was getting the truck, there was a bowl of candy. And right on top was Ghirardelli sea salt caramel. Honestly, once I was there, I didn't think about the truck. I didn't think about moving. I only thought about, not even the other candy in the bowl, Ghirardelli was calling my name. And I'm desperately trying to get to ketosis and just eat proteins and kick off the carbohydrates. And honestly, I mean, you may say, oh, that's a little thing. It was a big temptation. I even picked up the little square of candy in the blue wrapper and I stared at it. And I could taste it in my mouth. I love caramel. And I laid it back down. I told Kim about it. She said, you ate it, didn't you? And I said, no, I didn't. I left it. God gave me a victory. Well, right after, thank you. Well, right after that, I was at Home Depot on the self-checkout. And I had a few little items, you know, some plumbing items. And you'll hear about that in a minute. And so I had some plumbing items, and I look over here, and there's the giant Snicker bar, $2.28 plus tax. Or maybe it's food, maybe there is no tax. But Snickers, my favorite candy bar, even better than the Ghirardelli. And my hand went out toward it halfway. Because I could reach it from the scanner. I had the scanner in one hand, and I could get it, and I could just do this, and it's on the credit card. Who cares? And the same thing, that candy bar. In fact, I've been back since, and I still looked at those candy bars. But this was a huge temptation. And I said, no, I'm fat as a house. I've got to stop. I've got to get rid of this. I'm tired of carrying this stuff around. And so, no, I'm not going to do it. Thank you, Lord, for the help. Temptations in our life, and you get to say yes, or you get to say no. And you may say, oh, Pastor, those are little temptations. Well, they're not if they give me a heart attack or clog my arteries or make my life uncomfortable. And actually, all sin does that. Sin promises golden opportunities. Sin promises tremendous pleasures. But in actuality, it never delivers. Vance Havner, the great old country evangelist, said, the devil will tempt you with the corn, but he's going to choke you on the cob. And so we see this idea of the some of the little things in life. In this passage, he's not saying if, but when. It's not if you're going to be encountering various trials. He says here, consider it all joy, my brethren, when. When. I love this with Dr. Jerry Falwell, one of my greatest mentors in my life. Got to know him personally, had a couple of three meals with him privately, and got to interview him for my doctor's degree and some other things. And I never forget him saying, he said, I want to tell you young people at our college at Liberty, he said, you're either in a trial right now, or you're coming out of a trial, or you're about to go into a trial. These trials are going to test you. They're going to touch you. They're going to hit you. And then another point, he said, for every good day I have five bad days. For every good day I have five bad days. And I remember when I was president of our state pastors conference, I had him as one of our keynote speakers. And at the time, Liberty owed millions and millions of dollars. They were having trouble making the payroll for the professors and for the staff. And at that time, a shipping magnate, a Greek tycoon, an old man, had committed suicide jumping off of one of his freighters into the ocean. And Dr. Falwell said, I know why he did it. I would never do that because I trust God. And I do see him deliver. I would never do that, but I know why he did it. I'll never forget him saying that. And then shortly after he spoke at our conference, and he had gone into a couple of 40-day fasts, one of them an absolute water and nothing really, a man stepped forward, a billionaire, and donated to Liberty University $30 million and paid off all their debts in one stroke. And God delivered. But Jerry Falwell felt that pressure for several years. The IRS was on the campus going through everything at Liberty University. They gave them an office. They had five agents on campus, and they said, if y'all need anything, IRS is over there on campus. Can you imagine that pressure? Millions of dollars, can't hardly make payroll, IRS living on the campus. So there's trials that come. We're either in them, going out of them, or coming into them. But they're going to come. And these things in their intensity. This week, Kim and I are working on moving to another house in the area, downsizing a little bit. And I'm right now working on, I've pretty much got one of them, our existing, done. But I'm working on repairs on both at the same time. I've never felt more like a handyman show in my life. And, I mean, within a 24-hour period in the last few days, it's like everything broke. Our air conditioning has, all of us, you don't know it, but you have a pan underneath it. It's got a little PVC drain off of it. And the plumbers, when they had installed it, Jenny rigged it and put it in at a tension, and it wasn't quite long enough to go all the way to the wall, and they kind of cut an angle, so it pulled on the nipple that went into the pan for the drain, and it finally, the tension of it, it started dripping. I mean, it took a year and a half, but it seems like it's happening before we sell it. And so I have to go up there on my belly, crawl across the attic with PVC connectors and blue glue and all this other stuff and a hacksaw and all these other things, and I have to lengthen that thing and fix it. Well, that happened, and then one of our water valves outside started leaking. And I said, my gosh, we've lived here 7 years. Why is it leaking now? 2 weeks ago, we're sitting watching the Masters on television, and the giant ficus tree on the commercial property behind us that's been dead for years, but I mean, as big around as the root system of it, half of this stage. We're sitting there in that tornado or whatever, it was more than 40 mile per hour winds. We saw this whole thing bounce up and down a couple of times and crash over our fence and fill our backyard and our patio with trees. It didn't touch the house, but it came right up to it. And I'm looking, I'm saying, we're closing in 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And why couldn't it, Lord, why couldn't it have fallen on their property? It's their tree. Why didn't you push it down in their parking lot? They should have cut that thing down a long time ago. And I mean, that and that, and then yesterday, I'm going to Home Depot to get some plumbing parts, and I get a flat tire. And I'm halfway between 76 and US 1, and I usually get them at Firestone anyway. And I said, I am not going to pull off the road and change this flat for a half a mile or so. So I bloop, 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 blooped all the way down to Firestone. And they said, do you want tires? And I said, boy, do I. I drove it down there on a flat. I've never done that before, but I just said, I'm sick of this. I mean, I'm in the pool, our pool, and we've got a pool floater, and I put a few of the tablets in it, and when I set it in the pool, the bottom falls out of it. I mean, like in 24 hours. And I'm going, Kim, let's be careful. You know, I'm feeling like while I'm talking to you, the sole's going to fall off of one of my shoes. I mean, it just intense. And if you would, I'm requesting prayer, actually. Pray for God to protect us. But you say, all, and then here's the thing. I've got those things, and then here's how to count it all joy. Thank God that I've got a house that I've got to fix the plumbing on. How many people don't have a house? Thank God I've got a vehicle that needs tires. How many people don't have a vehicle? Most of the world doesn't have a car. And then on and on it goes, just being thankful and being grateful for the things that God provides in our life and the things that God takes care of. And then one of my dearest friends, I led he and his wife to Christ. I mentioned it last week. Their son went off the road at high speed. The car threw him through the window. His vehicle rolled three complete times before it came to a stop. He was 50 yards from his vehicle. He broke his arm. He had a compound fracture with the bone sticking out of his leg, his femur broken, broken ribs, concussion with slow bleed, and he's been in an induced coma most of this week, 40 years old. So I look at that, and then I look at leaky pipes and a flat tire, and I say, I don't have any problems. Can I hear an amen? And even if one of our loved ones did go into a coma, even in that, I mean, I've been talking to this couple, John and Vicky, and pray for them. Their son's name's John, and the doctors are saying, talking about life support and other things. I said, he's 40 years old. He's been in this whole condition less than a week. Give him a chance and pray for a miracle. Pray for God to heal him. I've seen it happen many times. But you and I need to recognize trials and temptations, they come into our life. And on the temptations, we need to say no. We need to say, this is a lie. And we're going to look at a minute what happens from those things, what they do in our life. We're allowed to have these things in our life for our endurance to be perfected and completed in us, our endurance. Now, if you look at the passage again, he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, the idea is not here that it's one character trait, and I'm going to go through these things and I'm going to sharpen up this endurance. This is going to be a character trait I've got. I'm an enduring person. It's not like that. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about actually the full circumference of our life surrounding us and producing in us this forbearing character, this faith. And it's not even talking about perfecting us. It's not saying that these things in our life, these trials, these temptations, these tests, it's not saying that they're going to perfect us. We're still sinners saved by grace. We still struggle like everybody else. We've just got resources everyone else doesn't have, the lost world doesn't have. But what he says here, what gets perfected in this? It's not us personally. Look what he says it perfects. He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The idea is knowing that the testing of your faith It's our faith that has given the endurance. It's our faith. I mean, I can't tell you how many times with some of our members through the years, they've been going through different things. A lot of times it may be marital things. And I've said, whether he or she leaves or stays, whether you patch it up or not, and we're going to always work for a healing of a marriage, we're going to always work for a marriage to survive. But whether it does or it doesn't, you need to get closer to Christ. You need to perfect the character of Christ, allow him to perfect his character in your life. That's what you need. You, no matter what the case is, you need to be more Christ-like. Can I hear an amen? All of us need to be more Christ-like. And so we see with this that he's talking about an endurance of our faith. Not testing us, but our faith. Not perfecting us, but perfecting our trust. Our trust in God. Do you really trust him? I tell you, with some of these folks through the years, I've thought, are you really saved? I'll be honest with you. I've thought that. Why do you toss him aside so quickly? Why do you toss him aside over the circumstances of life? Why do you not trust him? Now, if I were to ask you academically, everyone here would say from their knowledge and their mind, they would say, I know God knows everything, and I know everything he does is good, and everything he does is good for me. You would say that until you have some hardship. And then when you have some hardship, you'd say, why me? Now, when the whole tree fell in our backyard, I didn't say, why me, but I said, Lord, really? I mean, wow, we've got a forest back here now. And thank God that company that owns those two commercial buildings, Tommy, the guy in charge of it, he's a pro. I mean, they had the thing all cut up and moved in 2 or 3 days. They had a pressure cleaning crew out there getting sap and muddy boot prints. I had just pressure cleaned and painted our back patio about a year ago. It looked like cotton. It was snow white. And then it looked like you could plant corn on it. But, I mean, just shortly there, I mean, within days, they had the back gate was locked, and I said, come through the front. And they came through the front while we were gone and just got it right back like it was. And praise the Lord. And I've told the guy over and over again, Tommy, I said, Thomas, you're an honest man, and I thank God for you. But we see the idea in our life of trusting God. And then look what he says. There's rewards that can come along with it. If you look down in verse 12, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. I would encourage all of you, if you want to do a little home study, get a concordance or Google it or whatever, and crowns in the New Testament. There's 5 of them, and most of you can earn at least 4 of them. Well, one of them you might not of the 4. That's the martyr's crown when you die with a testimony of Christ. If you want that, go to Iran and street preach for about a few days. And then you'll get that crown. And then one of the crowns is a shepherd's crown for being a pastor. And that's a more limited group of people. But he says, when you persevere, your life will be blessed. Verse 12, blessed. Blessed is a condition of grace. Blessed is, I've got the presence of God around my life. Blessed is God takes care of me, and I know it, and in our relationship, I'm grateful, and I feel the grace of God in my life. I feel his favor and his loving kindness and him taking care of me. And he says, we're going to be blessed, and then we're going to be rewarded. with the crown of life. In Psalm 30, verse 5, "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning." So whatever you're going through right now, whatever's pressing you down, maybe it's relationships, maybe it's finances, maybe it's illness, whatever it is pressing you down, joy comes in the morning. My mother used to say this all the time, and it was kind of one of her key cliches. She said, "Daryl, this too shall pass." Let's say that together. This too shall pass. Whatever's going on in your life right now, whatever's weighing you down, whatever's heavy, you can tell yourself, "This too shall pass." And it will. Eventually, it will. And God will deliver you from it. One way or another, He will deliver you. And so, we see next that we're never tempted or tried by God. Verse 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone." Now, it's interesting, there's a difference between temptation and a trial or a testing. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, about Abraham, we see, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.'" God does test us, but he never tempts us. He's never trying to draw us in sin. He hates sin with a white, hot flame passion. He hates sin. He despises sin. He hates what sin does. He hates what sin did to his son. He hates what sin does to us. So he never tempts us. Now, we do know from Job that occasionally he's got a henchman that's gleeful to do it. He'd turn to Lucifer, to Satan, and say, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan, he's a tempting fiend. I mean, that's his favorite thing to do. And so we see that these things come into our life and they're constantly surround us. Demons assigned to us, fallen angels, the different things in our life, unseen forces around us affecting our thoughts, our mind, our attitude, our heart, depressing us. I believe nearly everyone that commits suicide, a demon has talked them into that, been whispering to them. First person, "I should kill myself. No one loves me." And they don't know that's another intelligence putting those words in their mind in first person. I. It's not I. It's them. And so we see this idea of temptation. God says, "I'm not going to tempt you. I never will. I'll test you. I'll try your mettle, but I'm never going to tempt you." And then we see also next that we're tempted and tried by our own lust. Verse 14, "But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust." And it's interesting, my spiritual father, Adrian Rogers, used to love to take these kind of things and categorize them. And he'd say, "Here is a verse," and I'm going to share that with you, "that encapsulates everything you want to know about the divisions of temptation and sin, the origins of them, the divisions of them." 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," all, total, todos, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." Here we see these lusts, these drives that are driven, these cravings, and they're divided in three categories. The lust of the flesh, this involves our sexual drive, our hunger appetite, our physical comfort appetite. There's times when we're seeking physical comfort when we should be working. We should be working out. We should be exercising. And all these other things, these lusts, these drives, these desires of the flesh, of our physical bodies. And their needs on one side, but then when they go the other way, their lusts. When they're excessive, when they're sinful, when they're wrong. The lust of the eyes. This car is not good enough. I need a better one. This house is not big enough. I need a bigger one. You know, this and this and this and this. Us missing God's will over the lust of the eyes. It's like the pastor one time he prayed and he said, oh God, before he was married, he said, please give me a beautiful wife and a big church. And God answered his prayer and gave him a big wife and a beautiful church. But people, you know, if they drive by and they look and they say, I'm not going there, this church is not pretty enough. This building's not, you know, we shop the things. We don't need to shop the things. We need to say, God, where do you want me? And go there. Period. Period. It's not a cafeteria. It's not a shopping mall. It's not Amazon. It's the church of the living God. And we need to be exactly in God's will with it. We won't be happy anywhere else. So we're tempted and tried by our own lust, the lust of the flesh, the lustful eyes, and the boastful pride of life. I've had people that have visited our church, some of the local political people, and they've said, Pastor, you're one of the only ones. Every time I come to your church, I hear a sermon from the Word of God, a scriptural sermon, and other places I'm not hearing that. And yet, where do they go? They go join other places for more faces, for more influence. And I've thought, well, if this is true, I've run into some of our previous members that say, we talk about you all the time, we really miss you. And I say, I'm still here. Haven't died. You know, I'm still there. Anytime you want to, come on in. But in relationship to these things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. These things draw us, pull us. Through the years, I've seen some young families come in the life of the church, give their lives to Christ. In some cases, I married them, dedicated their children, then baptized them later when they got saved. First mission trips, positions of service in the church. And then a better job offer comes along. And they say, you know, we're growing in Christ like we've never grown before. And yet, I mean, I'll make more money if I move to this other state and go to this other city, if I go to the, you know, the headquarters or whatever. Well, do what God tells you to do. We don't want you to leave. We will miss you. But do whatever God tells you to do. And I've had some of them come back and say, I went for the money. And now we're struggling in our marriage. We're struggling spiritually. I was so much happier when we were there. Beloved, do God's will. Discern His Spirit. Do what He tells you to do. Not the lust of the flesh. Not the lust of the eyes. Not the boastful pride of life. But the will of God. What God tells you to do. What He shows you to do. And then we see, our lust gives birth to sin. In verse 15, then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin is missing the mark. Sin is being guilty. Sin is not being joyful. Sin is not having the grace of God on your life. Sin is disobedience. Sin is lack of faith. Lust gives birth to sin, and then as sin grows up, and it always inevitably does, our sin brings forth death. Death of our faith, death of our joy, death of our vision, death of our obedience, death of the tender love of God in our life. sin brings forth death. And beloved, this is what we want to avoid. This is what we, verse 15, then sin when it's conceived gives birth to, when lust when it's conceived gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived. Say yes to God. Say no to sin. Walk in the joy of the Lord, even in your trials and temptations. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we ask you, Almighty God, to pour your Spirit out upon us. I pray for our dear people, everyone listening, watching. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts today. And Lord, just give great victories, great victories. We pray, Lord, that you would replace our disobedience with obedience, our rejection of you with faith and trust. I want to ask you right now, you can't trust God till you know him. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. You must be born again, is what Jesus said. I want to invite you right now to just say, dear Lord, please take full control of my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for paying for me. I want to obey you. I want to say yes to you. Yes, Lord, come into my life. Yes, Lord, forgive my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to give an invitation now, and I want to ask you to respond to God. I want to also invite our ladies to pick up the tickets to the banquet on the way out, if you would. But it's important for us to realize the first step in all of this and everything, the joy, the victory, everything is saying yes to God in our personal relationship with him. This week we had a young man that has a moving company, had two strong young men that worked for him in their mid-20s. And they came and volunteered their time, helped us move some heavy stuff. And we were so grateful. And I said, can I take y'all to lunch? And the owner of the company said, sure. And we rode with him over to the restaurant. The two young guys went separate. And I said, do they know Christ? And he said, I don't think they do, not yet. And I said, well, we're going to share with them. And so when we got there before them to the restaurant, and I said, y'all sit here and let them sit right beside me where I can get my eye on them and get close with them. And so I began to share Jesus with them, and one of them said, well, you know, I don't really think about those things. I just live life now. And the question you're asking about preparing to go to heaven, is that like reincarnation? What are you talking about? And then the other one said, well, you know, I'm really not... I know all about some of those things. I've heard some of those things, but not committed to it. And this was their answer, kind of after I'd witnessed to them. So I dropped back, and I went for them with one apologetic argument. And then I asked them, would y'all like to pray to receive Christ right now? And both those young men said, yes, we would. And so I was able to grab their hands and pray with them. And both of them prayed to receive Christ there. And that's the first step. That's the greatest thing. Then afterwards, when the owner was taking us back to our vehicles, Andrew and I, was it you, Andrew? Yeah, it was Andrew. And had a senior moment there. And driving us back, he said, now I can disciple them. And I said, yeah, yes, you can. You should. You better, you know. Go after them, work on them, and pray for them. Pray for all three of them to get here to church. He's going to work on trying to get them here. And there's an Asian young man and a black young man, and just great guys, so helpful. But I just want to encourage you, it's all about that. It's all about knowing him, walking with him, allowing him to be real in your life. In a supernatural way. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation. I want to invite you to stand. Let's stand together and you sing. Ben, please be seated. J. Jerry and Jean, come and stand here with me. This is Jerry and Jean Dickey. They're coming this morning to transfer their membership from Thomas Terrace Baptist Church by letter. And their pastor, I know him. In fact, his father taught us some seminars at Liberty, and he shared with them that we went to class together.
Yes, he did.
Yes. How old were you when you gave your life to Christ?
About 12.
12? Mm-hmm. Jerry?
I was 33.
33. Mm-hmm. Have both of you been scripturally baptized? Amen. Yes. Amen. So we're going to come by and express our love to you, and let's give them a big hand. Amen. We want to celebrate with you, and our folks are going to come by and shake hands. Let's see. This is about 6 feet, okay? Or you can fist bump or whatever, but come by and express your love to them and share with them encouragement. How many of you will make a commitment to pray for Jerry and Jean as the Lord lays them on your heart? Would you raise your hand and say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we'll be having a new member class come up here soon, and we'll schedule that, and we'll let you know about that as well to be a part of it. When we dismiss, I want to see Richard and Bobby Pearson and Jim, Bobby and Jim, and Mario, if I can see you four guys, when we dismiss. Gary came up to me and shared a tremendous miracle praise story that I want him to share with you. Gary's one of our key men here in the life of the church, one of our ushers, and God's just done a supernatural thing for him, and then he's going to dismiss us in prayer.
Most of you know, have seen me around the church, I like making people laugh, okay? Laughter's a good medicine. Several weeks back, I'll go back a little further. I've got three daughters. Every one of them has had cancer, all right? My youngest daughter is a professor where this guy went to college, Liberty, okay? She came down with breast cancer about 5.5 years ago. She had to have a double mastectomy. All three of my daughters have had to have that. They were clear, no cancer, except for about this past summer, late summer. My youngest daughter, the one that's a professor, came down with it again. Fortunately, it was on the outside of her chest cavity. When they operated, they took the tumor out and found another one underneath, which only 3% of the women in the world get this type of cancer. And, you know, Ann and I kind of fell apart. We did a lot of praying. I was in the bedroom on my knees next to my bed praying. Give me a second here to get my get together. I normally don't get like this. It takes a lot to bring me down. As Stu went on, she went through chemo, and then she went through radiation for 6 weeks. When they did an MRI before the chemo, they found two more tumors, one in her lung, one farther down. I can't remember, it was not kidneys, but pancreas, I guess it was. Liver, okay. That's why I have a wife, she corrects me. Trust me, I need a lot of correction. Once she went through the chemo and then she went through the radiation, they did an MRI on her. Cancer in her lung was gone. The doctor said it was like dust, like she had breathed dust, and that's all they could see. In the liver, there was no tumor at all. It totally disappeared. And the Lord said, I don't know how this happened. He says, we know, not the Lord, the doctors, this is not something we normally see. But as of right now, she is cancer-free, and I praise the Lord for it. I really do. And a lot of times, I don't get real vocal on stuff like this, but I couldn't hold this one back. I needed Amen. To share it with everybody. So Amen. Thank you for those that knew and prayed for. I greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Amen.
Okay, the pastor's asked me to close in prayer. He's really putting the pressure on me today. Dearly Father, we come before you, praising you. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings, all your healing hands on everybody, Lord, within our church family, within my family, Lord. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Bless this day. We appreciate the day today, Lord, that you've given us. And keep everybody safe, traveling mercies on their way home, Lord. We ask all this in thy precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org, and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going." And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message, and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you, and thank God for you.